As we take time to honor those who have lost their lives in war and those who continue to serve, we know that in our heart of hearts, we wish not one more life would be lost to war. We wish not one more child would have to send a bear to an absent mother or father or uncle or aunt or friend. I love you and I miss you. We see in our mind's eye the peace of Eden, the ideal, and yet it continues to elude us because we live in the real world, the world that still has active and hostile engagement, the world that has inequality and injustice, that has climate change and racism, that has ill health and job loss and struggling children. The world is made up of all the little images that create the whole, that are imperfect and varied, and sometimes hard to see because they are painful. Memorial Day was originally designed to reconcile the disparate North and South after the Civil War, that complicated disaster that cost so many lives. The hope was, I think, that a country united in memory might also be united in healing. No doubt people came out of that era hoping that there would never be another life lost to war. No doubt many hoped that the big picture would represent something healthier and more whole than they had just experienced, the likes of which we can hardly imagine. Within the scope of our complicated human lives, we want the simplicity of the big picture, the one where we step back and see the beauty of the whole, the way we see the image of this woman and her parasol, without having to notice the messiness of the details. It's like the image we see sometimes of Earth from high up in the sky, this beautiful green-blue ball spinning gently, or like the pointillist painting I mentioned several weeks ago, or like those photographs with the 1,000 pictures like this one, put in such a way that you can step back and see a beautiful image. And yet our lives are in the details, the little images, forgetting perhaps that the big picture is the details, the one starfish, the next starfish. Years ago, I wrote a newsletter column confessing my penchant for country music. You might not know that about me. Poor man's opera, they call it. So the number one hit that summer was a song called I Miss Mayberry by Rascal Flatts. Anyone? Yes, at least one of us. Maybe two. The words go something like this. Well, I miss Mayberry, sitting on the back porch, drinking ice-cold cherry Coke, where everything is black and white, picking on a six-string where people pass by and you call them by their first name, watching the clouds roll by. Creates an image for us, doesn't it? At the time I wrote, Andy and Opie and Aunt B were pre-terrorism. They were pre-global warming and pre-abortion rights and pre-Abu Ghraib. They were pre-awareness, and didn't that feel wonderful? Who wouldn't want to go back there? Oh, but remember, I added, it never really existed. Life has never been black and white, and the myriad colors we have always lived in have never been quite that fair as the picture it painted. So we live in the tension, the space that exists between our ideals and life in the real world, between the world as we want it to be and the world the way it is. And that can be enormously draining and never more apparent than when we remember those we have lost. We want a world with no war, And yet the messy reality is that we are faced with aggressions we feel powerless to address otherwise. We want a world with no injustice. And yet the messy reality is that privilege exists, and we are loath to give it up if and when we recognize it. We want a world that does not suffer the consequences of our human impact, and yet are often unwilling to change the habits that cause the problems to begin with. Life is messy, messy, messy. And here's the rub. We have to stay engaged with it, with all the muck and disappointment and frustration of it. We have to stay engaged. We must be willing to see the small pieces that make up the whole, to see each starfish as a part of the larger story. We must not pretend it is otherwise, because here's the thing. Hope lives in those small spaces. Hope lives in our ability to impact the small images that create the big picture. Author and social critic James Baldwin reminds us, not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed unless it is faced. Author Debbie Irving uses this quote as a chapter header in her recent book, Waking Up White and Finding Myself in the Story of Race. Like war, racism is a social illness we long to eradicate, made up of all the small elements that find a systemic home in a larger picture. Understanding how to go about changing it takes time and attention to even begin to see, especially for those of us with privilege. If you can't see a problem for what it is, Irving says, how can you step in and be a part of its solution, no matter how good a person you are? The problem, the challenge, is that all those small places of hope, all those individual elements of the bigger picture, can be very unsettling and sometimes painful to confront. They don't have to be, but they can be. It's messy to figure out how we are responsible for what's wrong in the world, even before we try to go about changing it. So this may not surprise you, but I've been thinking, as an example, about the proposed pipeline just down the street near the quarry. Spectra Energy is trying to build it not far from here. I don't understand how any agency could approve such a potentially volatile proposal. It boggles the mind. This huge pipeline is going through a densely packed neighborhood with not one but two schools, a retirement home right next to a dynamited rock yard. And I think to myself, are they nuts? It's not likely they are, because somebody stands to make a lot of money there. But before I get too high on my horse, I have to hold myself accountable for the fact that I use natural gas in my home. I heat with it and I cook with it. I dry my clothes with a gas-fed dryer. So it's my responsibility to figure out how I can be engaged, objecting on the right hand, while benefiting on the left. I hope to get to Washington, D.C. this week to protest outside the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission building with other faith leaders, because I do believe their inattention to the safety of the communities they're putting at risk is wrong. And I have to hold my own benefits of an ongoing gas industry to the light. Otherwise, my ideal is tainted. Debbie Irving describes growing through discomfort when she writes about finding herself in the story of race. Many of us must be familiar with that phenomenon, when we realize in those painful and small places that we have a predisposition or an assumption or a working narrative about race that we're living with that is flawed and wrong. We're tempted to turn away, to ignore it at least, or at least not struggle with it. But then we know the big picture will never change. Nothing can be changed unless it is faced. I'm hoping that we might agree to read this text together this summer and challenge ourselves to grow through some of those discomforts this fall when we come back together. We are here investing in hope together. That's what we do here, and we dare not stop. We are investing time in our capacity to be the people we want to be, to live lives of integrity and purpose and care. We're working on the small pictures so that the big picture is improved, bit by bit, starfish by starfish. Once upon a time, Paul Sawyer told us this morning, TAPS was a signal that the camp was relatively safe. It meant that you were no longer under siege or under attack of any kind. It meant that you were reasonably sure that there were no enemy soldiers to worry about, at least a bugle call's distance away. We will not likely see world peace in our lifetimes. But our engagement in the small places, and frankly, they don't even have to be that small if you choose not for them to be, is what will move us in the right direction. It's not rocket science. It's not an entirely new message. But it is an important reminder, like Memorial Day is an important reminder, that many have gone before us with an ideal in mind and done what they could to make the big picture a beautiful one. So the question then is what we are each doing to affect the big picture. Whatever the guiding image in your life is, how are you engaged with it? Is there a starfish you're working on? Is there a starfish you're trying to save? What piece of the picture are you coloring, and what is your hue? Each of us have a choice in this land between the ideal and the real world. It's important to take the time to step back and appreciate it, the beauty of it, the mystery, the gift of the big picture. And then, like Debbie Irving, finding herself in the story of race, to find ourselves in the picture that is the whole, to be present to our individual piece, and to make the most of it. It can be a moving target, and it's an easy place to get confused. But that's why we're here, right? To support each other and to help move the ark along its way toward the peace of Eden that we long to find. At the end of the day, like every veteran who lost their lives, hoping their war would be the last, we want to be able to say we did our part. We stay engaged. We live in the mess, even our small piece of it. It is where hope is found. So may it always be. Amen.